The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning, warning.
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger, danger.
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters
the danger zone.
It's danger zone time here on Money Life. This, of course, the segment each week where we are joined by David Trainer, president of New Constructs, and he takes us for a journey into his world. And his world, well, it kind of turns the rest of the investing world upside down. Why do I say that? Well, most folks look at balance sheets and numbers from the top down. But David and the crew at New Constructs, they dig in at the bottom. They start with the footnotes and they work their way up. And what they find is sometimes very different from the common picture. New Constructs rates and evaluates securities on a scale from most attractive to most dangerous. And typically, what's attractive is stuff that the rest of the world maybe doesn't find so good looking. And what's dangerous, that's the stuff where when you look in at the footnotes, you find out that the numbers are misleading and you've got a stock poised for disaster. Go to newconstructs.com, follow them on Twitter at newconstructs, and remember, they blog about their danger zone picks. So if you want more information, then you go to the website and you can find it there. David Trainer, welcome back to Money Life.
Great to be back. Thank you, Chuck.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
ServiceNow.
ServiceNow, that's ticker symbol NOW. This is another one of these cloud companies. I don't know much about it, but I know that it's a cloud-based company. Now, you've had a couple of cloud-based companies that have been in the danger zone. So is this that we've got trouble in the cloud, or it's the same kind of story with just a different verse, or is there something different here that puts ServiceNow to where you think this one is particularly dangerous?
This is a particularly dangerous one. You know, I think we talk a lot about being careful of avoiding sector themes or popular themes when it comes to investing. And this is just kind of a classic example of some things we really like to warn against, like the sector theme investing, but also the dangers of non-GAAP metrics and valuations that are disconnected from reality, and then also top-line growth that looks good but masks what is really a bad business.
How does it mask what's a bad business? What are the numbers that you dig in and go, oh, no, this gets ugly quick?
Revenue growth has been 67% compounded annual since 2012. Growth in costs, sales and marketing, research and development, general and administrative have grown 81%, 94%, and 68% compounded annually since 2012. So costs growing much faster than revenues. While revenues have been positive, profits have gone from negative $30 million in 2012 to negative $166 million on a trailing 12-month basis. So revenues are going up, profits are going down. Another big red flag, and we wrote a great article on this last week about how much non-GAAP earnings effectively boost pay for executives while ripping off shareholders. ServiceNow's management likes to get you to focus on things like contracts and top line and other metrics, for example, that have been looking good, but I don't know how else to say it. Those metrics are fixed or they are tampered with because they remove one of the largest expenses on the company's income statement, that is stock-based compensation. So gross margin in particular is one of the ways that executives get paid and one of the metrics that they divert attention to. Guess how much stock compensation represented in terms of revenues in the last fiscal year?
I wouldn't even know what would be a norm to use as a base for that guess.
23% of revenue. And stock-based compensation, not surprisingly, is a significant portion of executive compensation. So as I've said before, Chuck, wouldn't it all be great if we could get paid based on performance metrics? that ignored our pay.
Yeah, basically, it's a nice way to say, hey, this company's doing better than we thought it was doing, and we're going to get paid a lot more of extra money. How does that wind up translating back into the value of the company? Because on the one hand, okay, we can easily hear that and say, well, this means that management is getting paid way too much. But where does this translate back to the bottom line? I mean, how out of whack is the valuation on ServiceNow?
You know, it's one of those you look at and you just kind of shake your head and you say, geez, this is really way out of whack. And you know, it's a classic momentum stock. I mean, it's up 200% since going public. Justify $81 a share. They have to immediately improve their pre-tax profit margin, where it is at minus 20% today, to 10%, and grow revenue 31% compounded annually for over 15 years. At which point, it would have the same revenue level as Oracle in 2014.
Yeah, that seems to be more than a little bit out of whack.
If we say instead of 10% pre-tax margins, we go with 15%, which is the average of a peer group of companies, they not only need to grow revenue by 24% compounded annually for the next decade. Sorry, if they do that, then the stock is worth just $25. So put another way, if they can achieve the margins of their competitors and grow revenues by 24% compounded annually for a decade, the stock is worth $25 instead of the $81 it is.
So more than a two-thirds haircut on this stock. Is there a catalyst here? I mean, that's always the tough part. But is there something that you would think, you know, here's when it all comes to roost?
You know, I think the catalyst is going to be an earnings and revenue miss. Well, maybe not so much an earnings miss, honestly, because stock compensation expense, that's 23% of revenue in the last fiscal year. Well, it was only 11% of revenue in 2012. So they are boosting stock compensation expense significantly over the last couple of years. And to the extent they can do that, they may be able to use that to compensate from other expenses that are growing and make earnings still look good. Gosh, the catalyst is tough. You know, there have been times when we predicted certain companies would go bankrupt and all the numbers were out there and made perfect sense, and it took 9 months for it to happen. Now, I'm hoping that maybe our article here helps investors realize just how disconnected from reality the valuation of the stock is. Even when we look at takeover scenarios, we see enormous amounts of growth and profitability that would have to be achieved to justify paying anywhere close to these prices. Like, for example, if IBM were to buy ServiceNow and they could immediately elevate the profitability of ServiceNow's business to IBM's level of profitability, they still got to grow the revenue in that business by over 40% compounded annually for over a decade to justify paying this much. It doesn't make sense. At some point, we think the momentum wears off and the shares reconnect with reality, and it's hard to tell exactly when that will happen.
What folks would like to be is perhaps out of ServiceNow before that does happen again, because the stock trading in the $80 range and you think it's worth something closer to the $25 range. It's ServiceNow Incorporated, ticker symbol NOW, this week's pick for the Danger Zone from David Trainer of New Constructs. David, thanks as always for joining us.
Great to be with you, Chuck.
If you want more information on how it works, you want to see a little bit more on this particular stock or the New Constructs methodology, go to newconstructs.com. Follow them on Twitter at New Constructs. We are heading for home on the Monday, November 2nd edition of Money Life. Up next, it's the Money Life Market Call, the maiden voyage for Joe Hickey from Cleary Gull. We'll be talking closed-end funds next when Money Life continues right after this message.